Connor Livesey, what's going on, my man?
What's up, RJ? Thanks for having me on, man. I'm super excited.
I am very excited. We haven't done this. I don't even know if we've potted it up. By the way, while Connor and I are both here, subscribe to the Blogging the Boys podcast feed on all podcast providers. You can get access to both of us and our shows on the BTB Podcast Network. We have a lot of shows every single week. Connor does such a great job getting all kinds of guests and interviewing them. Although he never has me on, which, you know, hey, Connor, no big deal. Connor, I wrote something the other day about Dak and Tom Brady, and I know you saw it. And I don't know if you know this, dude, people are pissed. People do not like when you praise Dak Prescott. First things first, why do you think that is?
Well, I love that it's one extreme or the other with him. You either have a whole mob of people that hate him, think he's the worst quarterback in the NFL, and there's no, you know, no way that you can say anything positive about him. Or you have the other side of people who think he's probably a top three quarterback in the NFL, and anything negative you say about him, they're out with the pitchforks. So you're trying to find that happy medium. I think that, you know, with that post that you put out, you know, kind of comparing him to what some people think is the best quarterback in the NFL, they took that as you saying he was better than Tom Brady, which I know you didn't mean that. I know you know you didn't mean that. You're just comparing something that says, hey, this guy can be very productive in the NFL given the scheme he plays in, the players around him, the coaching staff that's putting the scheme in place for him. And I think that's kind of what you put out there. And people took that the wrong way and blew up. And I loved it because I knew when it, as soon as it came out, I said, people are going to take this either the right way or the wrong way. And it seems like a lot of people didn't take it the way that you wanted them to.
It was fun. Made for an interesting couple of hours. You mentioned the scheme he plays in, and you had a tweet about it. We also wrote something about this up on the site. We got a little hype video from DallasCowboys.com this week after OTAs, just kind of little highlights and stuff. And there was a clip of Dak intentionally carrying the ball. And you had a tweet that was all caps level excitement. Why were you so excited? Could you please explain? I think it's obvious. But, and B, how likely do you think that will be something we see on a regular basis under Kellen Moore?
Man, I sure hope so. You know, it's something we saw in spurts in years in the past, in 2016, 2017, 2018, you would see him carry the ball. It seemed like a 2 to 3 to 4 times a game. In the games that he carried the ball more than that, it seemed like it was very productive. They would get points from the ground game from Dak. They would pick up, you know, nice yardage. They would move the chains. But we never saw enough of it. I felt like every week we would come in, we'd be writing pieces on Blogging the Boys about how they need to use Dak's legs more in the red zone on third down. And then in the playoffs in that Seattle game, we saw them take advantage of his legs in some big spots, and it came to be huge. And I think that's something that I'm hoping and that we think we're going to see Kellen Moore incorporate more into that offense, is maybe using the read option more and maybe using just the quarterback power and zone runs even more to get his legs involved, to maybe hold those linebackers at the second level a little bit longer, which then can open things up for Ezekiel Elliott, can open things up in the play action game. And I think incorporating his legs in the scheme could just open up so many more things when you show that it's going to be a threat consistently and not just 2 to 3 times a game.
Connor Livesey from bloggingtheboys.com and host of Talking the Star joining us here on the Saturday Morning Hangover. Connor, I want to give you the floor to vent. What do you think is the biggest misconception about Dak Prescott and his game?
I think that's a great question, because I think that people think he's not accurate because of maybe some things that they see on, you know, TV, on the NFL Network, maybe some of the big-time TV media guys talking about. And I think that's probably, like you said, the biggest misconception about his game, because when you go back and you look at some of the tape, you see that he's a very accurate quarterback, especially down the field. I know people have different numbers. Guy that I like to follow a lot, Brad Kelly, put out some deep passing charts the other day.
That was a great tweet.
It was, and it really showed. You know, people went to that tweet and said, oh, well, 18 for 52 isn't good enough. But then when you look at the numbers, his passer rating is extremely high, and passer rating takes into account accuracy, completion percentage, touchdowns, a bunch of different aspects into that category. And you saw he charted the throws as well. He had some videos of the throws involved, and there's just so many really, really nice throws in that breakdown from Brad. And I think you go back, you turn on the tape, and again, going back to the scheme, in years past, a lot of the routes that we see are these stop routes, which aren't routes that show, you know, the vertical routes, the nine routes, you can have open receivers, but a lot of these comebacks, the routes that you see that are these stop routes that we talk about, they're tough to be accurate on because the DB is normally right on the back hip and you have to be pinpoint accurate. But I think Kellen Moore is going to open that playbook up and get Dak Prescott some more favorable looks down the field. And hopefully these numbers are even going to increase in 2019.
Connor, my co-host James Pledger sent me a tweet right now while you were talking. So this whole thing is ever moving, ever flowing, and he wants to know if Dak's statistics and his performance and whatever you want to call it was so great last season or so good, so passable, whatever you want to call it. Why did Scott Linehan get fired? And I think that's a fair question because, you know, maybe it's a chicken and egg sort of situation, but if Dak really is good, Why was Scott Linehan moved on from it? Maybe the answer, you know, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is that Dak is very good and Scott Linehan didn't realize that.
I think that that's the way you explain that is perfect because at times you know that anyone watching the game can see that they're somewhat holding back on some of the things that Dak can do. A lot of the third downs, a lot of people like to talk about the offenses. They were trying to get into third and manageable when a good offensive coordinator, a good offense is trying to not get in that situation. They want to move the chains consistently, not set themselves up for a favorable third down look. And I felt like that was something they always do. They'd run it on first and 10, get a couple yards. And at times they'd run it on second and long and try to get in that third and five. And then you're just put in a spot where you have to pick up those 5 or 6 yards. And at times they would settle for, let's just, you know, punt this one. Let's live to see another day. Mm-hmm. I felt like that's another phrase a lot of people used in Cowboys Nation and around Cowboys Twitterverse. And that's just something that you shouldn't want to do. You shouldn't want to live to see another day. You should want to move the chains. You should want to be smart with the football, of course. You don't want to just go up there chucking it, you know, turning the ball over. But also, you need to be aggressive. You need to try to pick up the first downs early in the downs. Don't wait to try to get the third down to pick up the first downs. Try to move those chains on first down, on second down. But that'll help your running game as well, which is something that I think a lot of people are excited to see in 2019 with how Ezekiel Elliott could probably take the next step with a better game plan, scheme, offensive coordinator, however you want to look at it.
Connor Livesey from bloggingtheboys.com and Talking the Star with us here on ESPN San Antonio. Connor, you liked this question a second ago, so I'll widen the parameters. What do you think is the biggest misconception about the 2019 Cowboys as a whole?
Kind of keeping it with Dak Prescott. I think that a lot of people think, and I know the news recently about, you know, the issue in Las Vegas with Ezekiel Elliott, that if the running game isn't there, that the offense won't be successful and the team's going to go down the drain. And I just mm-hmm. don't think that that's true. I think that at times, and people are probably going to take this the wrong way, like they took your Tom Brady the tweet the wrong way, is that I think sometimes the running game can hurt the Cowboys' offense because they rely so much on Ezekiel Elliott that on the third and ones, sometimes they're just trying to run it up the middle instead of maybe using the zone read. Or the,
like in L.A., the playoff game.
Exactly. I think that at times that can hurt them, and maybe that was a Scott Linehan issue, that he relied so much, he thought so much of Ezekiel Elliott, and maybe didn't trust Dak as much as he trusted Ezekiel Elliott, that he said, if it comes down to play A and we need to make this, we're going to give the ball to Zeke and trust him over Dak. And I think you saw in the Giants game in week 17 of 2018, Dak was able to really will that team to victory. I know people don't like to use wins and losses as a quarterback stat. I agree, as a team stat. I know you can't really look at it like that. It's apples to oranges to compare that, but I think you can see a player elevate his team in that game. They didn't have their offensive linemen. Their defense was kind of missing some pieces in the second half. And Dak Prescott, in my opinion, willed that team to victory because they didn't have the running game to fall back on, rely on, and kind of just keep taking time off the clock and moving the chains. He was able to kind of elevate his play, elevate the players around him, and pick up a big victory in Week 17.
I agree. And I'll say this. This is, I think, maybe my biggest misconception, and I'm curious for your thoughts on this. I might write something about this. Maybe we'll tag team this at BTB. And I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth. I think we both believe this is a really good football team, but my biggest misconception might be that they're a really good football team. They obviously won 10 games last season. And I know every time the over-unders come out, we look at the schedule, we say, oh yeah, they're going to win, you know, 11 games easy. Mm-hmm. But we look at last season, they beat the Lions on a last-second field goal, thanks to a really nice Dak pass to Zeke to set that up. Mm-hmm. They beat the Falcons on a last-second field goal. They beat the Eagles the second time, thanks to a tipped ball that ended up in Amari Cooper's hands. I mean, you're talking, that's a three-game swing where if these really small things go the opposite direction, you go from being a 10-6 team to a 7-9 team. And so I think that they might be, you know, I think they're a team that wins 6 or 7 games on their own, but they need those sort of, you know, winds of the gods, if you will, to push them in one direction or another. I don't know if you feel the same.
Yeah, I love that little argument as well, because you like you said, you have so many close games that you kind of barely snuck out of. You won by a field goal, or you won by a point or two. Team wasn't able to make a big play to come back and kick that field goal or score that touchdown. So you squeaked out of a few games that resulted in a 10-6 record. And I think maybe the other way you could look at that, even though I do agree with you, is that that's not a very, you know, way that you want to go into each season and go, hey, we were 10-6, we had a good season, let's build off of that. Especially when a lot of your games were close. But I think one thing you could look at is go, a lot of the times they allowed those teams to squeak back in with the way that their offensive game plan was. They would settle for running the football, you know, kind of totally going away from the passing game, running the football, trying to take off the clock, punt the ball, play clock management. And that can come back to haunt you at times when you face good quarterbacks, good teams that can come back, they can score 14, 21 points here in a quarter. Then these teams can fight back into games. And I think that that's something maybe that Kellen Moore might not do as much. They'll keep their foot on the gas a little bit more, you know, consistently trying to move those chains late in the game and not settle for time of possession, field position battles, and maybe figure out, okay, let's go ahead and close this game out. Let's score this touchdown. Instead of settling for the long field goal here, let's go for it, you know, like we've seen the Rams do in years in the past. And just instead of settling for the field goal, let's go for it on 4th-and-1 here. Let's go ahead and close this game out and win it, you know, by flying colors instead of squeaking it out. And I think that's something we might see a little bit difference of in 2019 than we've seen in previous years.
Connor, I'm going to put you on the spot. Jason Garrett, a year from now, what's his job?
I think he's still here. I think it's going to be hard. You know, we as much as people hate Jason Garrett, there's a lot of people who love the Jason Garrett. I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I can recognize that he's a great leader of men. His players love him. They play for him. And I think that that's tough to fire a guy when everyone knows that. No one can really knock his ability to lead the team into matchups. And again, his playoff record's not great. His ability to win those tough games and show the ability to outsmart a lot of these great coaches might not be there. But you can't question his leadership mentality. You know, he's got a lot of similar traits as a head coach that Dak Prescott has as a quarterback that you have to appreciate. You may wish that he was better in some aspects of his game, but you have to appreciate what he does bring. And again, the record in itself speaks for itself. I hope that he can probably lead this team to a better playoff record, maybe get to a NFC conference game, championship game. That would be huge to be able to get to that point of his career with this team and then build off of that in years to come. But I think he's going to be here next year unless something disastrous happens to where they, you know, fall back into the 7-9, 6-10, maybe even 8-8 would get him canned. But I think he'll be here in 2020 at least.
It is amazing how quarterbacks kind of become their head coaches, like children become their parents sort of thing. Connor Livesey at Connor NFL Draft does a lot of great work for us at bloginTheBoys.com, host of Talking the Star. And Connor, little known fact, runs the Blogging the Boys Twitter account during game days, which is always a must follow. Connor, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, man. Can't wait to do it again.
So Connor is a fantastic NFL mind. He does a lot of work. Obviously, his Twitter account includes NFL Draft for the draft. And he does have a lot of great guests on his podcast, which we do host on our podcast network over at Belong to the Boys. Subscribe again on all podcast platforms. I think that Connor raises some good points. I think that there's a lot of reason to believe in Kellen Moore. I think that there's a lot of reason to be skeptical of Kellen Moore. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things that this is going to be, it's one of those things you show up to a party sometimes and it looks weird from the outside. You're like, well, this is going to be the greatest time of our lives, or this is going to be terrible. And it kind of feels like that. Let's talk some football. Let's talk about soccer. Kyle Mahnke, a 2-1-0-er, joining us next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Sports here on the Saturday Morning Hangover.